You are Locked On Pirates, your daily podcast on the Pittsburgh Pirates, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, and welcome back to the Locked On interview on Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. Today, I am being joined from Adam McInturf, the Assistant Director of Pro Scouting. Let's try that again where I actually can say the word scouting. Hello, and welcome back to the Locked On interview here on Locked On Pirates, your Pittsburgh Pirates podcast of choice. Today, I'm joined by Adam McInturf, the Assistant Director of Pro Scouting at 2080 Baseball. Adam, how are you doing?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, thanks for being on the show. In case anybody has been under a rock the last week or so, a lot of draft stuff has come through. Adam has done fantastic work over at 2080, and he's been kind enough to talk about the Pirates' most recent draft. I guess, first of all, what was there any real variation that you saw from this year's draft than the Pirates have had the last couple years?
That's a good question. I think the Pirates are a team that does an A-plus job of blending the objective and the subjective. Obviously, I think that's something that they've been credited for across numerous aspects of their baseball operation. So looking at their draft strategy is always interesting. And I think the way that they deviated the most, in my mind, is just that they went with a college guy early in the draft. I think this is a team that has shown a tendency to go high school hitters earlier on in the draft, but when they do go college, we've seen them in the last 2 years now go with a college hitter, 2016, Will Craig out of Wake Forest, and this year, obviously, Travis Swaggerty. So I think that might have been a little bit different given the high school-heavy approach in the first round. But then aside from that, going college bat and then two athletic high school pitchers, I think the athletic high school pitchers is right up their alley. So there may have been some differences, but I think at the end of the day, this is another solid Pirates draft.
We're going to get to those high school pitchers in a minute, but let's start with Swaggerty. College outfielders very early on in this draft were in high demand, or college players, I guess I should say. Pirates drafting number 10, got Swaggerty. What's the poop on him?
Yeah, no, well, actually, if you're ready, I got some Swaggerty facts, or facts related to the Swaggerty pick. I'm going to test your Pirates knowledge here. I'm putting you.
I'm on the seat. All right,
heat here. You're on the clock here. Oh, okay. There's two facts related to the Swaggerty pick. One of them, I'm going to turn over to you. The first one that I'm not turning over, the Pirates have selected 15 outfielders. Well, no, I'm going to back this up. Sorry, and I'm sorry I'm rambling a little bit, but I thought this was good stuff. A way that I look at the draft is the rules changed in the bonus slot era. I'm hoping that everyone that is into prospects enough to be listening to this is familiar with what that means. The hard bonus slot era began in 2012 in the draft. So I think that changed a lot of things about the way the teams go about getting talent through the draft. And I kind of look at drafts like 2012 on. When it comes to the new rules. So with that said, since the bonus slot era began, so that's the 2012 to 2018 drafts, the Pirates have selected 15 outfielders within the first 10 rounds. 12 of those 15 have been from college. I thought that was interesting. And here's the fact where I'm going to put you on. So you gotta put your draft hat on here. Since 2012, Pittsburgh has drafted 5 outfielders in the top 50 picks. 3 of them were from college, and 2 of them were from high school. How many of those can you name? No problem if the answer is none, because I probably would have remembered looking at these names. And this includes Swaggerty. So there's 4 more, and I'm just
all right,
putting
so
them
I got one. Travis Swaggerty.
There you go. Boom. You got that one.
There we go.
I bet you
know I got one
more. He just made his debut.
Oh yeah, Austin Meadows.
There you go.
That's enough. So that's 2. 2 out of 5. Boy, the first-round draft picks, I'm drawing a blank here.
Top 50 picks, so it's not just the first round.
Top 50, okay. So, since 2012. Oh, man. Because all I'm thinking of are the Newmans and the Will Craigs, the Cole Tuckers. I'm being stuck only thinking of infielders right now.
They've been infielder heavy. This is a tough question. No one blames you for. I would have forgotten.
Two of these names. I'm taking you as the no one here. Who are the other three that I'm missing here?
it would have been very bogus if I didn't have the answer. So, the three you're missing. This is a little cheap because one of them. This is a segue to what I would talk about a little bit later, and that's why I did this. One of them is Cal Mitchell. He was the other high school outfielder.
Cal Mitchell,
50th overall last year. But here's where it's no big deal, though. No offense to these guys, but the two other college outfielders saved from Swaggerty in the top 50 picks by the Pirates since 2012 were Connor Joe and Barrett Barnes. I don't believe either of those guys are still with the organization. But so Swaggerty has a chance to be a lot better than those other two, though, which I think is a good thing. So the five outfielders all together, aside from Swaggerty, the college ones, Connor Joe and Barrett Barnes. Connor Joe from San Diego, I believe, and Barnes from Texas Tech. And the high schoolers, Austin Meadows, obviously, from Georgia High School, and Cal Mitchell from the San Diego area. So that's my trivia for the night.
All right. Then I got a little bit of trivia of my own right now for pitchers. This is something I wrote for the Point of Pittsburgh a couple weeks ago.
I like that website. At this point. They got good stuff there.
It's a great website, quality website. Love writing there. The Pirates have selected 9 pitchers in the first 3 rounds of the draft since 2013.
Wow.
How many out of high school and how many were out of college?
Oh, man. 9 in the first, how many picks since 2013?
Since 2013. 9 in the first 3 rounds. And I'm counting collective bargaining A, collective bargaining B picks as first or second rounders also.
Oh, man. Well, I am not going to get nearly all of these. I don't know if this counts.
No, I'm not going to ask for them. I'm just going to ask for a number here. On how many you think were high schoolers and how many were out of college. I'm not as sadistic as you. I'm going to go easy on you. Make the guess look good.
Okay. Let's see. I think I know they're very high school heavy because high school prep arms early in the draft is something that they've always done. I'll say that they've had some pitchers unsigned because Nick Lodolo went unsigned and so did Mark Appel. I'm going to say, I don't know the exact number, but of that 13, I'm going to say at least 10 or 11 were from high school. That could be high, but I bet a lot of them were high school.
Every one of them was from high school since 2013, in the first 3 rounds.
So it doesn't include, was Appel 2013 at number 8 and they just didn't sign him that year? Was that 2013?
Appel is 2012.
That was 2012, okay, cool. Yeah, so I just 2013.
Which is why I took that as the cutoff date. Because since they got burned out of him, they're like, okay, I guess we're only going to go with high schoolers. And even though Lodolo burned them also, they've had far more success draft. It's not
very
in high
interesting.
Schoolers.
Well, no.
So I guess that's a good transition.
There you go.
Oh, you go.
No, okay. That's very good stuff. When I was preparing for this, I just noticed, I think the Pirates have selected the high school pitcher within the top 75 picks 5 of the last 7 years. So, but you know, you look at the rotation now, and they have guys like Talion, they have guys like Mitch Keller on the way up. I could have just butched Jameson's name there, so I'm sorry.
It's Talion, yep. It's all right.
Yeah, Tyon. Yeah, no, I caught myself at the very least. I knew it was wrong. And you know, they have a fair amount of other guys. They've had a lot of success with what's generally a very risky demographic, and that's a big credit to their scouting and player development.
So I guess Hoglund and Braxton Ashcraft, they both fall into that early high school pitcher, early selections in this draft that they maybe. This is just my speculation. Please call me out if I'm wrong. Maybe they'll go over slot for those guys at some point. They like them that much that they select them that early.
Yeah, I think that's true. I think I'm being nitpicky. I think that going over slot to sign high school pitchers early in the draft is not something that is specific to the Pirates necessarily. I think that demographic high school pitching generally requires you to open the checkbook, so to speak. But maybe the Pirates have found themselves doing that more given their predisposition to select high school pitching. But it's worked for them. I mean, you look at their rotation and up and down, they're having success drafting and developing guys in a way, in a demographic that a lot of teams aren't. So I think that both Ashcraft and Hoglund fit their bill in terms of, you look at some of the high drafted pitchers that they've taken in the past, a lot of them, almost all of them, fit this profile. They're big, they're tall, physical. Not just tall and thin. I guess Lodolo was tall and thin, but he's a lefty. But all the righties generally are big, strong, physical guys that have good fastball velocity. A lot of them are four-seam fastball guys that establish that fastball and spin off of it. Cody Bolton is another guy that we're going to get to later on that kind of fits this profile. He's a little bit shorter, maybe, than some of them. He's not short, but he's not the prototypical 6'5", 6'6". He's not the Ashcraft build, maybe, but he's definitely a Pirates type too. So they have a profile, they have a type of high school pitcher they like, and like I said, I think that if track record is any indicate, they're going to have a good chance to develop some of these guys.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Bolton in a second, but you brought up the fastball. The Pirates are the most fastball heavy team in the major leagues. While a lot of teams are going to more slider, curveball, more off-speed stuff, they are doubling down on fastballs, by far the most highest percentage in baseball. Do you feel that might be a contributing factor for whenever they do target high school kids, because they can read a radar gun, they can see the movement, the spin that it has in high school, and they're like, okay, we can build a pitcher around this, if nothing else?
That's an interesting question. I think that, I mean, it's fascinating that they lead the, I knew they always were known for throwing a lot of fastballs. I didn't know they were the most fastball heavy team this year specifically, but I think that shows that this is something that's real in terms of their philosophy with pitching, and that they do a good job holding true to that philosophy, both at the major league level and on the farm. You know, they seem to take guys, I've always noticed, that are physical fastball guys, and they really seem to preach pitching off your fastball and getting strike one with a well-located fastball. That's something that I've noticed when I watch some of their lower minors teams, is the way they're working on that type of stuff. So it's telling that that runs all the way to the top, because I'm sure that's an organizational philosophy, and they're getting guys, they're drafting and developing players that fit the mold that's going to fit their pitching philosophy. And then obviously it makes sense that those guys that were, you know, had tendencies that fit that mold, go on to pitch the way that they want to develop and do.
Back to Cody Bolton, draft pick, very recent draft pick for the Pirates. We're actually going to talk about a couple players from the West Virginia Power that you have some very good stuff to talk about. So we're going to start with Bolton right here. You brought up fastball, low in the zone. What else really stood out to you about his, whenever you saw him recently?
Yeah, I saw him earlier this month. Actually, the first couple days of June, I saw him down in Greensboro, where I'm going to be next week for the South Atlantic League All-Star Game for us. Bolton was a guy, some of my contacts with the club told me he was a dude to look out for. I knew he was the sixth rounder from last year from the Northern California High School. I didn't know much more about him, to be honest with you, until I saw him. I've been doing mostly stuff on the minor league side for us, so I didn't have much amateur track record with him. But like we were talking about, he's a classic Pirates guy. He's big, strong, and physical. It was a good fastball, 92 to 95, and he held it throughout the start, which I think it's impressive. I think a lot of times you see a teenage arm. I think he's only, only 19. You see these kids, they might show their peak velocity earlier in the start, but generally as the pitch count rises, it wanes a little bit. And I was impressed both with how he was able to get ahead with his fastball and stay around the zone, but also the way he was able to hold his velocity. And like a lot of other Pirates guys, off that fastball, he had a good slider. It was a low to mid-80s pitch, 80 to 85, that showed shape, and it looked like a future big lead pitch. For sure, he snapped off some very good ones. His changeup, like a lot of guys his age, it's behind the fastball and the slider. It's overthrown a little bit, like 86 to 88. He threw a handful at the 84 to 85 range that showed more promising separation off the fastball, a little bit more sink. I think as he ages, there's nothing in the delivery that's going to stop him from getting that more frequently. So, you know, there's always risk with high school pitchers, but it was very easy to see what Pittsburgh liked about this kid. And you kind of do the math, and you're looking at a physical guy that's strong, can eat innings, that's showing two big league quality pitches down the road right now and maybe a third. And, you know, I think you're looking at a guy to be a back-to-the-rotation starter. Like I said, there's risk, but I think Cody Bolton's a name for Pirates prospect fans to keep a lookout for. He's had some very good starts to start the year for the power. If you go back to the numbers, if you have a computer in front of you, I'm only pushing this issue because he's had some really good starts. I'm going to call it up now. He started the year, he's only made a handful of starts. He's only made three. Wow, yeah, he hasn't allowed an earned run through 15 and a third innings. I'm sorry to cut you off, but he struck out 19.
No, that's better than what I was
saying. 19 Ks, four walks, no earned runs. So it's been a very impressive start to the year. He's showing a lot of the reason why Pittsburgh thought so highly of him, took him early in the draft last year out of Tracy, California.
Another guy who I'm at least very intrigued about is O'Neill Cruz. Over to the Pirates in the Tony Watson trade last year, and the general scoop on him was this is a big kid. This is a big kid that if he can grow into his power, he could be a force to be reckoned with. Right now, in West Virginia, he has a .505 slugging percentage, so he is showing that power potential.
Yeah. I mean, I'm really happy that I have a chance to talk about him because I'm not saying he is the best player in the minors. He's one of the better ones. I mean that. I think this is the guy that has a chance to be on top 100 lists maybe next year and 2 years from now for sure. I'm not saying maybe he's the best player in the minors, but I think he's the most unique. Because if I told you, name an A-ball shortstop that's slugging .500, that's unique enough. Then if you tell me that the kid is like 6'7" in cleats, you know, that's I don't know if there's another guy quite like that in the minor league. 6'7", left-handed hitting shortstop with power. Pretty special package there. So yeah, he's really fun to watch. What's impressed me the most with him, because like you said, I think the calling card, I'm not sure he's really going to be able to be a shortstop long-term. I think that's kind of presumed. But give him credit, I was really impressed by the strides he made with his defense. I saw him in Hagerstown last year. I was doing a series there right after the trade. I think this was like his second series with the power, and he's noticeably better defensively when I saw him this past summer than when I saw him in 2017. I think that's a lot of credit to the Pirates' PD staff. Same thing at the plate. You know, the power is what he's known for. The BP is really fun to watch. I've seen this kid get a hold of a couple home runs in games, too. And, you know, it's for real. Believe the hype on the raw power. But what I was excited about was to see how much he'd shortened his swing. He's still chasing non-fastballs. He's still chasing breaking balls out of the zone. I don't know if the pitch ID is there. But his ability to control the zone on fastballs and stay inside the ball and use the other field is a lot better. And I think that I'm a little more confident about his ability to get to that power ultimately, even if he's a kid that is so big, it takes him a couple years to grow into his body. Pretty remarkable that this kid is just 19 years old.
Whenever you talk about that athletic skill set, because he also, from everything I've heard, is he has a really good arm also in the field. So
is a cannon.
If a shortstop doesn't work out for him and he has to switch over to a corner, do you think it makes more sense to try to go to third base and try to take advantage of that arm, or alternatively, send him over to first and put a big old 6-6-7 target over there for infielders to throw at.
That's a good point, and I think because of his height, it wouldn't shock me if there is a time in his life where he plays first. But no, I think he's such a good athlete. I don't think he's going to be landlocked over there at all. When I saw him in 2017, actually, my thought at the time, like I said, he wasn't moving as well defensively, and I didn't think that his footwork with the glove was where it is now after a year working with the Pirates coaches. This isn't a knock on the Dodgers coaches, by the way. It's just something that I think he's improved on since he's been in Pittsburgh's system. I thought he was actually going to be a right fielder. I looked at how big he was, and I was like, I don't know if this kid's big enough to actually get down to field ground balls at the end of the day, because he's only 6'6", maybe 180 now. He's going to be over 200 pounds. I mean, if you look at I think I sent you some links to the video. If anyone listening to this goes to our website, we got some video of O'Neill Cruz up right now. You see how lanky this kid is. He looks physically like Gregory Polanco did at this age when I saw Gregory Polanco playing in West Virginia. But it's just so unique because he's an infielder. So I thought right field because take advantage of the athleticism and that rangy defensive gait he has in his arm strength last year. But after seeing him this year, I'm with you. I think he can move to third. I think he might stay in the dirt, and I think we might have just a really unique player that his height and athleticism is able to move between third base and, like we said, maybe first, maybe another corner, and hit with left-handed power. So it's a really, really interesting profile. I think I'm as interested to see how this plays out with him as I am with basically any other player in the minors.
Another player that's on the power that has that, you know, plus 500 slugging percentage, which always, you know, this early in the farm system, you can't really put that much stock in it, but it's eyebrow raising worthy, I guess, is, you know, the guy that I absolutely whiffed on whenever I was talking about top 50 picks for outfielders, Cal Mitchell.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Mitchell is another guy that I'm happy to get a chance to talk about. It's a very different profile than O'Neill Cruz because as much as Cruz is kind of like a freak athlete with raw tools, the likes of which not a lot of guys have seen, even veteran scouts I talk to, not a lot of guys have seen anything like O'Neill Cruz just coming in as an infielder. I think on the other end of that spectrum, what Calvin Mitchell is really notable for, it's not, I'm not saying he's a bad athlete, but it's not necessarily like blow away raw power, blow away blazing speed or a cannon arm. But what it is a really well-rounded package, and his best attribute, I think, are his instincts at the plate and his feel to hit. I'm not exaggerating when I say I think it's the best hit tool that I've seen this year. I have covered basically two A-ball leagues and a little bit of Eastern League, but I really think this is the best pure hitter that I've seen this year. I was really impressed with his bat-to-ball, his awareness of the zone, his ability to lay off pitches and work counts, and also how just calm and composed he was the times he did fall behind at the count. I saw him battle back more than a few times. I got a three-game look at him, and the way he used the field, used the other field, and actually was driving the ball for extra base power to both fields was impressive too. So he's a corner outfielder. And to be honest with you, he might be a left fielder, but it's such a special field to hit. You see why the Pirates thought so highly of him to take him to the top 50 picks, even if it's not the traditional center diamond high school athlete profile. I think the bat did just be that good.
You come on the show, you give us absolutely fantastic stuff about everything in the Pirates draft in single A. We got to plug some stuff that you got coming up soon, including feature pieces on the upcoming minor league All-Star games, including Florida State League, South Atlantic League, which has Bradenton, which has West Virginia prospects. Who on the Pirates do we see in those pieces?
Oh, good stuff. Yeah, in these pieces here, Cal Mitchell, a guy we just talked about, I mean, he's going to be in one of the All-Star games. I'm surprised, you know, O'Neill Cruz got snubbed, which is incredible to me that he got snubbed from the South Atlantic League game. I thought that was a little unjust. But you got Calvin Mitchell in the South Atlantis League game. And then we have guys like Eduardo Vera, Matt Eckelman, and Arden Pabst down with the Bradenton Marauders. So Steve Guybars is our Florida guy, and he's done a really good job covering that lead this year. We're excited about the depth of our coverage for all of these minor league all-star games, and we're going to have pieces with video scouting reports, spotlights, and general player content on, let's see, the Midwest League All-Star Game, South Atlantic League All-Star Game, Carolina League, California League, and the Florida State League, like we said. So we're excited about it in 2080. It's been a really fun year, and we're looking forward to the second half of the season.
And that's at 2080baseball.com. Where can we find you specifically on the interwebs?
You can find me on Twitter at 2080Adam, 2080, A-D-A-M. And our Twitter for 2080baseball.com is 2080ball. That's 2080BALL. So those are my two shameless plugs for tonight.
Oh, you get it. You get two, not three. All right. Got to make sure.
Three strikes and you're out. Yeah, no, two strikes.
Adam, thanks again for being on the show.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. This is really fun. Thanks for having me.